So four very ordinary people, but four very different encounters with Jesus. First of all, we see the name and the person of Andrew. So Andrew, together with a companion, the companion's not named, but they think it was probably John. Throughout John's gospel, John never refers to himself by name, always indirectly. So they think that probably the other person with Andrew would have been John himself. But actually, they were already followers of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, "See the Lamb of God." And immediately Andrew and his companion begin to follow Jesus. Now we might think it's a bit rude that they were following John the Baptist, they see Jesus, they drop John the Baptist and go over and start to follow Jesus. But actually if you read the wider context, you will see that is exactly what John the Baptist's role was, to prepare people for an encounter with Jesus. John intended that when he saw Jesus, he intended that his two disciples would leave him and go and follow Jesus, the Messiah. These two people had already believed what John the Baptist had said about Jesus, the Messiah. They were ready to follow Jesus. But as they begin to follow Jesus, he asks them a question. What do you want, or what are you looking for? The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, in fact, the beginning of his public ministry, begins with a very deep and profound question. What are you looking for? I wonder what we are looking for as we begin this sermon series. As we hear about the series being about encountering Jesus, what are we looking for? What are we looking for in this season of our life from Jesus? As we begin to emerge from the pandemic, God willing, what are we looking for from Jesus and our faith? Well, Andrew and his companion kind of almost seem to ignore Jesus' question because they continue and they ask Jesus the question, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Now, at a basic level, maybe they're thinking, actually, if we're going to follow you, we need to know where you're staying, where you're going to live, if we're going to hang out with you. But I wonder whether they are struggling to immediately answer the question that Jesus has asked them. What do we want? What do we want from Jesus? What are we seeking? They don't really know maybe what they are, what they do want, what they are, what they want, and what they're seeking, but they do recognize something in Jesus and follow him. But whatever their intentions are, Jesus doesn't pick up on the randomness of their answer. But he instead simply offers them and gives an invitation to them to come and see. Come and see. Now, at one level, maybe Jesus meant come and see where I am staying. But again, if we think about it at a deeper level, I wonder whether Jesus is inviting them to come and see the real Jesus, to encounter the true Messiah. Maybe Jesus is giving them the opportunity to come and meet and see the real Jesus for themselves. Because ultimately, Christianity isn't about an idea or about a doctrine. It is about the person of Jesus. He's at the center of Christianity. And that invitation to come and see gives us the opportunity to come and investigate Jesus. It gives us the opportunity of coming and asking questions and seeking out him. It comes and gives us the opportunity of each of us making our own minds up about Jesus. Well, that is exactly what Andrew and his companion did. We're told that they spent the day with Jesus, no doubt captivated by him. And Andrew was so excited by what he saw and encountered of Jesus that he immediately went out and he sought and found his brother Simon. And he offers the invitation to him to come and see Jesus. He says, "We found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." Andrew's encounter begins with that sense of seeking. But by the time he finds his brother, he says, we found the Messiah. And Simon comes and finds Jesus with Andrew. He's renamed by Jesus as Peter. And many of us will know Peter, the disciple. He crops up all over the place in all four of the Gospels. He's probably the best known of all the disciples, Peter, the disciple. If you know him, he's quite impetuous at times. He spectacularly gets some things right more often. He spectacularly gets things wrong. But actually, here in this moment, he doesn't say a word. Instead, actually here, it's Jesus speaking over him and renaming him as Peter. His story, Peter, is encapsulated in three words. He was sought by his brother, he was brought by his brother to Jesus, and he was caught by all that he saw and heard. So Andrew and Simon Peter. The next person to encounter Jesus in the reading that Sally read was the person of Peter. Now, if you notice specifically, John, in his gospel, tells us that actually Jesus found Philip. So rather than the other two finding Jesus, in this situation, we're told that Jesus found Philip. I don't know why that is. Maybe I kind of got in my head that maybe Philip was a much quieter and more reserved and shy person. In fact, the only mention in any of the gospel of Philip is when he's seen in the context of talking about the 12, when the 12 disciples are named. He does ask some perceptive questions of Jesus later in the gospel, but he's kind of certainly very much a background person. Maybe he's the sort of person that would be easily to overlook in a crowd. But actually, he's not easily overlooked by Jesus. Jesus sees him and he goes out to find him. So Andrew and Simon Peter and Philip. And last of all, Philip again is so enthusiastic and excited by this encounter with Jesus that he goes out and finds his friend Nathanael. Now, Nathanael reacts very differently from the other three. He responds almost very scornfully, with that sense of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? In Jesus' day, Nathanael came from Cana, and Cana was very much a big and wealthy city. It was the centre of commerce, whereas Nazareth was very much a kind of off-the-beat village, kind of a little bit of a remote place. It didn't have a particularly good reputation. Bizarrely now, actually, it's completely flipped. Nowadays, Cana is a very small village, and because Nazareth is the hometown of Jesus, it's actually quite a large city. But in those days, there was maybe a sense of a bit of snobbery by Nathanael saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth, this backwater place? There's that sense that Nathanael doubts and has that sense of being a skeptic. But notice what Philip does. He doesn't try and convince him about Jesus' worth and about all that he's experienced in his encounter with Jesus. What Philip does is he takes the exact same invite that Jesus offered and says, come and see. Three really simple words, come and see. And despite of his bluster and his initial reaction that Nathanael has, that's exactly what Nathanael does. He goes with Philip and meets Jesus. But if you read on to the end of the chapter, you'll see that Jesus had already clocked Nathanael. You'll see that he knows Nathanael both inside and out. And actually, as Nathanael encounters Jesus, we see in a few lines on that he declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Actually, that would be an amazing declaration for anybody. Jesus has just started his ministry. He's not done any miracles. He's not done any teaching. Yet he's able to recognize, says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. And that's the transformation that happens in Nathanael's life as he encounters Jesus. And actually, he becomes one of the 12 disciples. You may not recognize his name, but he's referred to after this by his family name of Bartholomew. So you'll see that he becomes one of the 12 disciples. So I want to stop there and recap on these people and their encounters with Jesus. So if we could have the slide up, David, that would be really helpful. So first of all, Andrew. Well, actually, he already believes. He is ready to follow Jesus. And then he goes out and he brings another to Jesus. Maybe we today already believe. Maybe we are already following Jesus. Actually, twice in this these short encounters, there is that sense of issuing an invitation to come and see. Maybe we have followed Jesus for a long time, but maybe we have stopped looking for those opportunities of sharing Jesus with other people. Maybe we've missed those opportunities of inviting people to encounter Jesus by that simple invitation, come and see. Maybe it looks like if issuing an invitation to our new coffee afternoon or inviting somebody to church. But can I really encourage us to be talking about Jesus to people and not necessarily talking about church to people? Because actually it's Jesus that we want people to encounter. And if nothing else, actually now we've got a great opportunity, haven't we? Maybe we can talk to somebody and say, we're doing a sermon series in church about encountering Jesus, and you can catch up online. You don't even need to be here at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. You can point people to the website and catching up with the talks online. Next, we have Simon Peter. Doesn't say anything, but actually Jesus speaks powerfully into his lives. Next, we come to Philip. And of course, Philip didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came to him. And whilst people will encounter Jesus by somebody else inviting them or showing them Jesus, actually sometimes God pursues us. Sometimes is that sense of that Jesus is pursuing us, trying to find out and seek us out. He gives us the desire to know more about Jesus and about God. Not so much about us finding God as God finding us and that call to follow him. Maybe that is you today. Maybe God is calling you to get down off the fence and make that commitment to wholeheartedly following him. But then again, we remind ourselves that Philip went out and extended that invitation to come and see to Nathanael. And actually, sometimes it's when people who are new believers, when we've encountered Jesus for the first time or fairly recently, often we're the best people to go out and invite other people to encounter him. But maybe lastly, you find yourself where Nathanael found himself. Maybe you have doubts. Maybe you're skeptical about Jesus and Christianity. Or maybe you come across people every day who are skeptical about faith and Christianity. Those people that have kind of been there and done that. People that we might meet at work or at school or neighbours or friends. People who seem to have made their mind up about Jesus. Who've moved away from their childhood or teenage faith. Who no longer see the relevance or need for Jesus in their lives. I think it's really important to say, actually, if that is where you are today, in a place of doubting about faith and about Christianity and Jesus, actually it's an okay place to be. We see people all the way through the Bible who had doubts about faith and struggled with faith at different points. But can I also ask you to be prepared to come to this sermon series with an open mind, to be receptive to investigating the person of Jesus for yourself and all that he offers, to be willing to look at Jesus and you. One of the things that I love most about these four encounters is that Jesus doesn't try to fit people into a mold or a particular pattern. He sees each person as an individual, and he's able to have that individual encounter with them. He knows each person. He knows them inside and out. And critically, he knows what they need and knows their hearts. Each comes as an individual to Jesus. And that is the same for us. Actually, Jesus knows each one of us. He knows what is in our hearts. He knows what we need at this particular season of our lives. And actually, he is ready and waiting to have an encounter with each of us, which will be very different to the person sat next to you. So I want to encourage each of us to trust Jesus on this journey, to trust that he wants to reveal himself and speak to each one of us individually through this series. To each one of us, he offers the simple invitation to come and to see. And that's what we're going to do now as we come around the communion table. As I said just now, you'll need a communion kit if you want to join us in this around the table. And actually, we extend an invitation for all to invite all to come around this table. It may be that you are following Jesus, and it may well be that you feel that Jesus is your Lord and your Saviour. And so I'd encourage you to take the bread and the cup with us. But it may be that you're not sure about where you stand with Jesus. Maybe that sense of still seeking and investigating him. And so I'd encourage you still to join in this meal with us. But take the opportunity to continue to reflect on that call of Jesus in your life and his invitation to come and to see.